Okay, so I have several very related questions. Okay, so I'm just going to read all four parts, and you can address the topic. I think a lot of people are wondering about the church's view of gender roles and would appreciate elaboration, could you? Is it okay not to get married or have kids and instead go to college and achieve your dreams? So I'm wondering if it's wrong to want to be the traditional woman, not the Barbie lady type thing, but a strong, old-fashioned woman. If one wants to just get married, young, settle down, have a family, but hasn't met the right person yet, what would you say about college? All of it.
I think God leads us in different times and different places. And I don't think, you know, even if you're feeling that as a young woman, I want to get married, but you haven't met the right person yet, you know. Be someone who the church can, you know, be someone who God, you know, can use. I mean, Matushka the other day said, you know, have children in your life, you know, for example, as you move on. I remember one priest saying, anything you do can be done to the glory of God. You know, you can be a trash collector and do it to the glory of God. Am I doing what God wants me to do at this point? Because where you are now might not be where you're going to be in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, and you have to be open to that. I mean, certainly the martyrs, especially the royalty, you know, in Russia, when they started their lives, weren't expecting everything to be ripped out from under them and had to learn how to, you know, Anna got the book of Mother Alexandra's I Live Again. You know, she was crown princess of Romania. She never expected that she was going to have to be, you know, changing bedpans at some time. And maybe you're not being called to be married. Maybe you're not being called. You might get married and not be able to have children. What are you going to do? Is your whole marriage going to fall apart if you don't have children and that's the only goal you thought you were going to have? You know, we think that things always work the way we want. But suppose God calls you not to, you know, you don't feel the calling to be married. That doesn't mean you live a life of, you know, I sleep around with anybody I need. You can live a chaste, pure life, you know, a celibate life in the world. What an example that gives. You know, suppose I know one of the young ladies here, you know, wants to go into like criminal counseling kind of thing. How many hurt souls can you, you know, maybe those are your children. You know, those are your children. You're living a good Orthodox life and touching just a little bit of that damaged soul. You know, that's not a wasted life, you know. It might not be children of your body, but they're God's children. If you can save one child from that, that's a glorious thing, you know. So I think, you know, as St. Hermann, you know, we love, you know, be where God wants you to be and be open to that. And sometimes it might lead you into a place that you weren't expecting, and that's okay, you know, because of God's guiding it, it'll be okay.
If I can just follow up on that, you know, you don't know where you're going to be. So I'm 53. I had no idea that I would be a priest in the Russian Orthodox Church here in Cincinnati when I was your age. When I was 13, I had to choose a foreign language to study in high school. I picked Russian for some of the stupidest reasons ever. I have two older brothers. One of them had taken Latin, the other one had taken German, so cross them off the list. Like, how does a 13-year-old boy think, right? And then that left French, Spanish, and Russian. And Spanish was for the stupid kids. I was pride. This was my pride, right? I'm not saying if you studied Spanish, you're stupid. I'm saying that among when we're making this decision, we were 13, we had a week, we had 5 days, we went to each class for one day. At the end of the week, we had to choose what language we're going to be in, and the next week we started. So I had talked to my friends, and we were the smart kids. That's who I hung out with. So I didn't want to be in that Spanish class. And the French teacher was kind of weird. And the Russian teacher was this woman, Nadezhda Vasilievna. I thought, well, she's kind of interesting. So I picked Russian. But God had a plan. I use that language every day of my life. I couldn't be who I am if that decision hadn't been made. But I didn't make it consciously. I didn't know that it would bring me to be here today. But if that hadn't happened, I couldn't be here. But that's not because I'm a priest and a man. This is because who God wanted me to be. So, for you, don't get hung up on being the man or the woman. Be who you are through God, and He knows who you are. You just have to try and seek Him, and He'll help you be who you are. He'll make you who you are. As I continued my life in high school, in college, I studied literature, English and Russian. I went on then to become a freelance journalist. So I was a teacher. I used the skills, first I was a high school teacher, I used the skills of a teacher every single day as a priest. I rarely have a classroom, but I teach constantly about what the church believes. So that was God preparing me for what was coming. As a freelance journalist, I had my own business. I had to learn how to manage my money and run a small company. Now, I'm a rector of a parish. In Indiana, the whole parish annual income was about $35,000. It was a small business. I was in charge. I had experience that let me do that. I started my own small business, St. Innocent Press. We published books that helped make up what the parish couldn't provide. Every step of the way, God had prepared me. He's preparing you. But you have to pray and that He help guide you in the right way. This is how you'll become the man or the woman, more importantly, the child of God who you're supposed to be. That's how it'll work. Our society is so fixated on, forgive me, what we do with our genitalia. It is stupid. But it's what they're all focused on. We just have to kind of say, well, sure, okay, that gets you excited. It's not what I'm going to spend my life thinking about. That's what you have to do. You're just going to have to say, hey, you know, all right, that's what you do. Fine, that's what you do. I'm kind of interested in some other things. There's more to me than just that. Because there is. There's way more. And this is what God intends you, is to be a full human being. It's not quite the question, but Dee Dee inspired me.
And Father, when you look back, was this process that, that you're still on, and we're all still on, if I'm understanding you correctly, it was quick and it was easy and it was painless, right?
Of course. Right. No, it was not quick. I had no idea where I was going. I think the image that Father Nicholas gave of a flashlight is very true. Yeah. We don't actually see far ahead. We'd like to. We kind of like, you know, God, all right, tell me the whole path. Tell me everything that needs to happen. I want to know what to do. And people come, believe me, people come to confession all the time saying, Father, I've got to make a decision. What is it that I'm supposed to do? And sometimes I may know someone well, and I may be able to say, you know, given what you've told me about this and about this, I suggest you do this. But 9 times out of 10, I actually say, well, what do you think? I toss it right back to them. Because people know. And if we look in that core inside of us, if we're living a sacramental life, someone's in confession, they're already trying to seek repentance. They're already trying to kind of tame these, you know, wild horses and direct themselves to the direction of God. So if they're already trying to do that, then they just need to kind of pose that question, to find God within themselves. He's there. He's buried in the center of that. But we just don't see him because there's all this other stuff around.
Thank you. I think whoever, those who ask these questions, I mean, either you're saying, okay, great, or you're saying, well, you didn't actually ask a question, right? Because in a sense, what the church does is we don't directly answer that question because we don't put you into a box. The church doesn't define you're in this category and you're in this category. You are a unique individual. And there are characteristics of these general roles. But the main thing is live your life according to love, according to Christ's commandments. And that can dictate many different paths depending on the context. I want to say, I'm reading these questions from more, but if you have follow-up questions to something that comes up, please feel free to raise your hand. That's just fine. Okay. Yeah.
Can I specifically address college and women? Because I wrangled with this. Mm-hmm. my brother went to seminary, and the way he got my parents to agree to this, and don't do this at home, he left one thing out of every single college application.
Oh.
He didn't ask for rec letters for one place. He didn't send his transcript to Penn. He didn't send this to Dartmouth. He didn't send this to Harvard. Because he didn't want to go there. He wanted to go to Jordanville. And he could not tell my father that his firstborn was not going to go to college. And so reject letter after reject letter poured in, and he said, I'm sorry, I guess I'm just going to have to go to Jordanville. You tricked me. But because he was a year ahead of me at our private school, then the headmaster took me aside and said, you're not going to do what your brother did, are you? I said, I can't, they won't take women. He said, okay. And I talked to them about college because my parents wanted me to live at home, and I was the oldest daughter in a family that had 5 children and 6 after I graduated. My sister Susie was actually born after I was married and 3 months before my oldest daughter, because my mother died when I was 11 and my dad remarried. So we span from, well, my brother Andrew's birthday is today. I was a senior in high school when he was born, and Susie was born when I was 22, so that's a lot. And Father Yosef was 1 year older than I was. And I said, my family wants me to go to Harvard and live at home, and I can't do that. And the headmaster said, Wellesley. I said, I don't want to go to a girls' school. And he said, no, Wellesley has a big endowment. They can afford a high school English teacher's child. And they like eccentric, and Russian Orthodox is eccentric. And what I didn't know was Wellesley required that you live on campus. And so I couldn't live at home. And my scholarship would have been cut if I lived at home. So I lived on campus, but they made me come home every weekend. And that was really good also, because I taught at church school, I sang in the choir. Father Andrei Popkov had us making recordings for Wolos America, for the Voice of America, and Radio Free Europe, and Radio Liberty, and things like that. So we were doing professional broadcasts of portions of the liturgy to be broadcast to the then Soviet Union. And it was very good because there really weren't that many boys. You could import some from MIT, but you could live your life without the temptation and distraction of having handsome guys in your class. And my parents made me promise that I would finish college before I got married. Well, the seminarian that I met before I started college finally noticed me, and he proposed. And I said yes, but I still had a year and 2.5 years of school. And so we agreed that we wouldn't tell anybody, which he meant he wouldn't tell anybody, and I meant we wouldn't tell my parents. But I had to finish college, and he moved to Boston and charmed all my relatives. He shared an apartment with my 6-foot-something uncle, so everybody knew we were being properly chaperoned, and whenever we went someplace, we'd take siblings with us. It was torture. But he got to know all my family and all the clergy, and, you know, Vladika Constant came from England for a visit, and we went to get a blessing, and Father Aman said, Anushka Miavesta Ash, at the secret, in front of my father, who did not speak Russian. You know, Anya is engaged, but shh, it's a secret. Russian in front of Dad. But, you know, eventually it gave everybody a chance to get used to him. But because I had that degree, during times when NASA had layoffs, I could work teaching preschool instead of cleaning houses. And I got a job doing freelance writing from home. And I tried working as an editor for Toyota's online magazine when my youngest was a baby. And it was miserable because I had people calling me from 7 in the morning till 7 at night thinking it was work, and people at home thought, Mom's there, you can do everything, what's wrong, you're not doing everything. And I decided I would go and get a graduate degree when the baby went to college. And now he did. And then I realized the only way I could go to grad school was if they had it on a desert island where nobody could find me. And they did. The college of Fairfield University rents a retreat center, and they have a limited residency MFA. So I was able to get my master's degree, and that made people start thinking of me as a writer and editor rather than Joseph's sister and Father George's wife. And so Father Daniel hired me, because we don't know.
Can't you tell she's a good writer? She's a great storyteller. This is one of Matryoshka. This is one of the ways that God is, kind of fulfilling Matryoshka. This is who she is.
But my sister-in-law is way smarter than me, and she did not get her degree because she married my brother-in-law, and they put all their money and focus into him getting his degree. So she worked in the metal shop at NASA and various other, but she could not work at a job commensurate with her intelligence because nobody knew she could do that because she didn't have a degree. And so you should think of a degree as a passport. And it's the passport to do the things you want to do. And you should get a degree that will teach you the things you want to know more about, and that will allow you to do the things you want to do to get paid enough to support your family if your husband gets sick, if you intend to go the traditional route. Yes?
So I just want to add to me, like what you're saying, but God has different paths for all of us.
Oh, it does.
And we can't all say, my path is to, everybody's path is to go and get that college degree, because it's like with Father Daniel, God will lead us and direct us what we need. So someone may not need, I didn't get my college degree, but I had a different path. And I guess sometimes I felt caution, and maybe this isn't fair, but it's saying, well, if you go get your college degree, you'll be able to help provide. But I think that that's not always true, because we can never prepare for these unknowns. God knows what we need.
Well, when I worked in as a teacher, I taught 10th graders in addition to 6th and 8th graders. But the 10th graders were all thinking about college. That was a very common thing. And it was a college preparatory school, but there were still people that I encouraged, because they'd be like, well, I don't really know what I want to do. And I think this is very common for people who end their high school years to not really know what they want to do. And if you've looked at what college costs, beginning at $15,000 and more like $20,000, and up to $80,000 for a year, including room and board, right? I mean, this is huge money. I mean, my house costs, 2 years of college, or maybe 2.5 years of college at the upper end. So it's a perfectly legitimate thing. Our society doesn't encourage this, but it's perfectly legitimate to not do either of those things.
Yeah.
Don't go to college right away, finish high school, don't necessarily go to college. I know people who, for example, have gone to the Holy Land and lived in the convent where they have a school teaching young Arab children for a year. What you need to be doing is getting to know who you are, mm-hmm. not who your parents think you are, not who your friends think you are, but who you are. That's what you need to really be discovering. And so there's a book called What Color Is Your Parachute, mm-hmm. That I recommend. It's got a lot of worksheets to kind of look about. It has very specific exercises to have you think about your life and things you've done, and identify, based on those things you've done, a profession that you might enjoy, a profession that would fit with what you're doing. And a lot of times people don't know these things. So you can't just say, go to college no matter what. Sure, a degree can help, and I agree with that, but part of me is always the contrarian to say, well, maybe you don't even have to go, right? Mm-hmm. Or you do something else for a period of time, and you'll discover something else.
And let me wrap this up and move on, because there's other questions. Elder Paisius has this beautiful saying. He says, he advised young people to go to college at his time, right? But what he was really advising, like when we get into the reasons for what he was saying, what he was advising was, do something with your energy that you have. Don't sit around, watch TV, find ways to exercise your genitalia or whatever, right? Do something with your energy. Go to college, really dive into your studies. Go to this convent in the Holy Land. You know, get involved in a serious volunteer project. Give yourself to some serious task for the good of yourself and others.
Get a job and do the job well.
Yes. Get a job and do the job well. That's really the answer. Right now, right here, right now, there's something you can use your energy for. Don't be worrying about what the future is as much. Let God guide you there. Yes.
Just want to add a comment. If you are thinking about going to college, maybe go to like a community college. Cheaper, uh-huh. classes that you're interested in, see if it's actually something you want to do as a profession. And if it is, then you can go on and look at finding schools that has a program. So that's a slightly more inexpensive way, gives you an introduction to